headlines this hour. Tar balls reach Florida's coastline on day 63 of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Palestinians say the Israeli claim of easing the siege on Gaza is a deception. The US-led war in Afghanistan claims the lives of 9 more NATO troops as the British death toll there reaches 300. And in sports, Portugal, Chile and Spain emerge as the winners in the World Cup. Hello everyone, welcome to the news here on Press TV. I'm Hassan Tabakoli in Tehran. Thanks for joining us. Top story this hour is day 63 of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And now, tar balls are beginning to wash up on some of America's most famous beaches. Officials say tar balls and tar patties are being found throughout northwest Florida. State authorities are using barges to block the spill from entering inland waterways. Meanwhile, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has set up an emergency response team. This comes as crude from a ruptured well continues to gush into the water. New figures show as much as 100,000 barrels of oil is pouring into the Gulf every day. That's 40,000 barrels more than the U.S. government's earlier worst-case estimate. The spill is said to be the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history. Israeli municipal authorities have ratified a proposal to destroy 22 Palestinian homes in East Jerusalem al-Quds. The homes will be demolished to make room for construction of a garden in an area which is home to some 50,000 Palestinians. The Palestinian Authority has slammed the decision. It says intervention is needed from the international community and the United States to counter Israel's dangerous move. Palestinians say the project is another attempt by Tel Aviv to cement its claim to all of Jerusalem al-Quds. They say it's impossible for Palestinians to obtain building permits. Israel captured East al-Quds from Jordan in the 1967 Six-Day War. Tel Aviv's annexation remains unrecognized by the international community. Meanwhile, the Palestinians have denounced Israel's claims that it's easing its three-year siege on Gaza. Hamas has called the move a deception, and both Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have once again demanded a complete end to the siege on the coastal enclave. This comes after Tel Aviv announced that it's now allowing some previously banned civilian goods to enter Gaza. Israel has come under intense international pressure following its attack on the Gaza Freedom Flotilla. The attack last month left 9 peace activists dead and several others missing. Well, the U.S. has asked its citizens to avoid traveling to the besieged Gaza Strip. The U.S. State Department says previous attempts to enter Gaza by sea resulted in the injury, death and arrest of Americans. Therefore, it says U.S. citizens should not travel to the coastal strip by any means. Tel Aviv has requested that countries issue such directives to discourage further attempts to break its siege on Gaza. Israel killed a 19-year-old American and several Turks when it attacked the Gaza Freedom Flotilla last month. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a federal criminal law that bans support for designated terrorist groups. But the law can also be applied against organizations and U.S. citizens looking to teach conflict resolution to terrorist groups. The case involves the Humanitarian Law Project, a rights group that has been providing peacemaking training to the outlawed PKK and the Tamil Tigers. The U.S. government enacted the law in 1996, and it was modified by the 2001 Patriot Act to obtain criminal convictions. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter says he's disappointed by the ruling. He says it threatens the work of peacemaking organizations. Now, at least 9 U.S.-led troops have been killed across the war-torn Afghanistan. Here's more.
It's the second deadliest day for U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan in 2010. Britain is only second to the U.S. in terms of war fatalities. The British deaths have already hit the 300 mark. Lindsay German from a London-based anti-war group says the rising fatalities have made it difficult for the British government to justify its military's involvement.
It's finding it increasingly hard to do. This 300th soldier who has unfortunately died, this last 100 deaths have been in the last 10 months alone. It was only last August when we passed the 200 mark. So the number of deaths in the war is escalating. And, of course, it's escalating not just for the British troops, but, as your report shows, for other of the NATO troops and for the Afghans. So it's increasingly hard for the government to justify, particularly when tomorrow they're expected to announce some very, very severe cuts in public spending. And people are saying, we've spent now £20 billion on this war. Why are we spending all this money on a war which most people in this country don't want, which most people in Afghanistan don't want, and which clearly is not succeeding in its aims?
The war is now in its deadliest phase since the collapse of the Taliban regime following the US-led invasion of Afghanistan in 2001. The U.S. and Britain have already warned of rising casualties as they have stepped up their campaign against the Taliban, particularly in southern Afghanistan. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who visited Afghanistan earlier this month, said British troops would leave as soon as Afghans are able to take over security responsibilities. German believes foreign troops will not leave Afghanistan anytime soon.
There's no clear timeline, and of course Obama has said he wants to start withdrawing troops in a year's time, but the way in which the fighting is going now, there'll be no further forward in a year's time, so of course there'll be big arguments there. And we've had these deadlines before. We've had people saying we could be in Afghanistan from any time from 4 or 5 years right through to 30 years, as one of the military said last year. And of course, I think most people know that whatever timetable is put on it, the war is not succeeding even in its own aims. And of course, many people are opposed to the war anyway and want the troops to be brought home.
What is certain is that more U.S.-led forces will be killed before their governments make the final decision to end the senseless bloodshed in Afghanistan.
Now, Tehran has barred two UN inspectors from entering Iran. The head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization says Tehran will no longer allow the two in because they have issued false reports on Tehran's nuclear energy program. Ali Akbar Saleh also accused the two IAEA inspectors of leaking information about Iran's nuclear program before an official announcement had been made by the agency. He said Tehran has already given the inspectors' names to the UN atomic body. Saleh said any inspections of Iran's nuclear facilities must be done within the framework of the NPT. The IAEA has rejected Saleh's remarks. The agency says it has full confidence in the professionalism and impartiality of its inspectors. Well, earlier we talked to Iran's ambassador to the IAEA, Ali Asghar Soltanieh. We asked him to give us more information on why the two inspectors were banned from entering the country.
In accordance with the NPT safeguard agreement, any country has the right to withdraw the designated inspectors. The two inspectors which have been, their designation have been in fact withdrawn because Iran was not satisfied with their performance. In fact, they have reported incorrect information to Director General, and he is duly reflected in his report. We have, in fact, made a communication with the supporting documents, prove that the two inspectors have made mistakes in their reporting following the inspection. And, of course, the second issue is the release of the information prior to the distribution of the report of Director General to the member states, which are usually in a restricted manner.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quickly, the headlines this hour. Tar balls reach Florida's coastline on day 63 of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Palestinians say the Israeli claim of easing the siege on Gaza is a deception. The US-led war in Afghanistan claims the lives of 9 more NATO troops as the British death toll there reaches 300. And in sports, Portugal, Chile and Spain emerge as winners of the World Cup.